gentlemen, gather round. It's Mecha Podcast 2000.
Or just wait till you get over there. Russia has some of the most potent weed in the farming. They do. If you look up like top potent strains, Russia's in like top five.
That red, communist.
But strain. I'm just saying, it's over there. You didn't have to
that
bring
communist pack
cartridges over there.
That sickle pack. What do they got? That hammer and sickle pack.
Whatever.
Kush. That Putin Kush.
Yeah.
Hey there, how's it going? Welcome to the show. This is Mega Podcast 2K, the hottest pod in Atlanta. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today, Dana?
I am wonderful. The sun is shining. So it's a wonderful day in Atlanta. It went back to being hot, but it's okay. We had a few days of 80 degrees.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I don't
have you.
That.
You haven't even been outside yet.
Yeah, I have.
You hope to open the door for me.
No, I was.
It's like
almost, I went out last night, Dana. I went out. I was out.
Okay, let me check. So I just got to see because it's 84 right now. 85. Give me some ganja. Sheesh, it's hot. It feels like 89. Yeah, it's hot outside, bro. It's hot. Yo, you know what I saw on Atlanta Scoop today that was like hilarious? Someone's license plate that said, Bye, it's like B-Y-E-B-I-H.
B-Y-E-B-I-H.
Bye, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
You know that's the short term for saying bitch in Atlanta.
Was it a Charger?
Yes. Okay. No, it was a Mustang. Oh, hit me with, do you have that like plug where it's like super, that we use the speed up news? Do you have that?
The news plug?
Yeah. Do you have that? It's just going to make this news even better for you because you're going to love it.
I think I got it.
Dodge will discontinue its Challengers and Chargers muscle cars next year. According to Michael Wayland, Dodge will discontinue its gas-powered Challengers and Charger muscle cars at the end of next year as the brand transitions to electric vehicles. It's a lie. They're trying to get rid of these fucking douchebags. According to Michael Wayland, since being resurrected in the mid to late 2000s, the Charger and Challengers have been the stalwart of Dodge and popular vehicles in the new generations of gearheads. But the car has now also been a part of changing a new version of its ways. So emissions and trying to be eco-friendly with emission problems. So, you know, they're trying to switch the brand over. That's just code language. We know what that means, Atlanta. And it hit the scoop. You know all these people out here in Atlanta that are driving those cars are hurting right now, but I'm loving it.
No more Hellcats.
I'm loving it. I'm telling you, I'm loving it.
Da 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 da.
That's what I had to do. So how do you feel about that? Easy. Yeah, we did make that look. How did you feel about that? I wanted to hit you with that from the blind side, too.
I
know you're an avid Scoop watcher, so you probably already saw it.
I did see that, and I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so did I.
This coworker I work with, mm-hmm. He has a, Nissan?
A Maximum?
No, it's like those 80s, the Nissan 240? Like tuner car. Yeah, 240Z
I love those cars,
or whatever.
240SX to be correct.
He got one of those.
With the sunroof.
And yes. And it's sick.
Pop out headlights.
Yes, and it's like that gray, that perfect gray.
It's called Murder Gray, Architect Gray.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
But I told him, I was like, yo, people are going to be pulling up, and they do. And you drive the S2, it's 2000, blacked out with the black rims, catch Dana outside. People are going to pull up next to you if you drive a car that goes fast.
Right.
You know, like, they're going to want to race.
Right.
I mean, it's good, and I do think that they're doing it because it is. It's branding wise
in Atlanta, especially in Atlanta. Seth, you can contest to this. You don't have to be brash about it.
Oh yeah, if you see a Charger, it's trouble. This is nothing good, especially the Hellcats.
Oh my gosh, nothing comes good from them, bro, at all. We all know this, and we live in Atlanta. You know what we're talking about here. You know it.
Yeah, no, so it's for the best.
Yeah, it is.
But the other thing, too, is these electric cars are going to be fast as fuck, though.
True.
Sorry, I feel like I'm not completing myself. I was out at the club last night. I had my arms folded. You know, I'm a little hungover. I was to the club. I had my fitted.
Oh yeah, what fitted did you have?
I had the Houston Astros 80s throwback fitted.
Well, you want to shout out the place that you're at? Give them a plug?
I was at the local last night. Local on Monday, which that's one of those places that's actually going to get torn down.
How many swipes for the local?
It depends what you're looking for. It's a classic, iconic spot, spot. I would give it a 3.
Ooh.
But just because of the Monday nights is karaoke night, and yeah, it's lit. But the thing is like people are gonna offer you cocaine and shit. Like
it's Atlanta. What do you mean?
Every time, like people are gonna try to have sex with you. It might be a man, might be a woman. You don't know. It's just kind of like it's where like people who work in the service industry go out mm-hmm. on Mondays because it's like service mm-hmm. industry night. And it's lit. I just popped in, you know, had a few drinks. I was bopping around that town.
What is bopping?
Bopping?
What the fuck is...
Bopping is when... The way I use bopping is when you go, you know, from like bar to bar.
Okay.
You bop around.
I just wanted to make sure I get the terminology. I didn't know if that was...
Oh, bopping also, you know, means something, right? Like, does it giving blowjobs?
Bro, I don't... You used it on the flex tip.
Oh, so you've never heard that word
before? Not like that. I mean, not even really like in particular.
What's the context?
I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even know. That's why I had to stop and ask what it was.
Because
I was
bopping around.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite thing to do is get a drink at this place.
Uh-huh.
Get a drink at that place. You know, I like to just change the vibe. Okay. I don't like to stay in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Always like areas where you can bop around. What? I feel like bopping around means like giving hella blowjobs, like a girl, like a bopper.
I feel like you're living in like the days of, you know, happy days and shit. Like we're going to bop around and go get a soda pop.
These days are wrong. Yeah. Happy days. I mean, there are horrible days. Yeah, okay, I get it. It sounds like real 1940s.
Right, Grease and shit.
Yeah, shout out Olivia Newton 2 weeks out. In a row. Yeah. Kinda. I mean, that's the vibe. You mm-hmm. go to the jukebox, you mm-hmm. just
they got
hit
a jukebox?
It with your elbow.
You got a jukebox there?
Not really. Oh, okay. I was just trying to set the vibe.
You almost set me up. I was like, oh shit, I need to go to this spot.
Well, last time I went to a jukebox place was Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and I put my shit in 2 hours before the place closed, and my songs never came on. So it's like, are they playing while they're shutting down? You know, they're like mopping the floor.
Yeah, it's like your song comes
listening
on.
Listening to Suave Mente.
I thought it was going to be Seal from Rose or some shit that. Yeah. Yeah, you know how you do.
Not that one, though.
Okay.
It would be that song, Crazy. Okay. We're never going to survive unless a little crazy. That's a banger. Anyway, let's get into this fucking show. We're going to get through this, baby. I got my caffeine in my system. Somebody about to be my victim.
Mm.
We want to talk about ASAP Rocky fucking ruining his life. He just got charged with assault. And it just says assault, but I guess it's assault. He had a gun. It's a gun charge.
I have an article up from LA Times if you need anything
from me. Yes, please. You have the gist of it?
Yeah. So Rocky, whose real name is, you remember?
I forgot it already. Rocky, Rakim?
Yeah, there you guys, like Rakim Myers, faces 2 counts of assault with a semi-automatic firearm with allegations of personally using a firearm. He's slated to be arraigned Wednesday in downtown LA courtroom.
He's fucked.
What? Yeah, he is.
I just... Wait, where is that?
You ain't got the answer.
No, that's
I still love that one, though. Yeah, this is the Bunga episode. Yeah, he's a Bunga right now. Yeah.
You're hella rich.
Hella rich.
You're a fashion icon.
Your net worth is like $2 billion.
You're Pretty Flaco.
Pretty Flaco.
You got Rihanna pregnant.
You got Rihanna pregnant.
One of the baddest bitches to ever live.
One of the baddest bitches ever.
Cleopatra reincarnate.
Cleopatra.
And now you're going to be behind bars.
You're killing me,
Unless you have like... I mean, gun charges get you every time.
Like, he just left Swift prison too, like the Swiss. You know, he just got out of there.
Yeah, it wasn't Switzerland.
I thought it was. It's like the peaceful place.
It was in like Copenhagen or something. Like, really,
where shit doesn't happen, you know?
He like swung on a dude.
Yeah.
But that one wasn't as bad. I think a guy was like trying to film him.
Yeah, something like
that. And he like knocked his phone out.
Yeah.
But still though, it's like, bro, you got it all. Like, just why you even have a piece on you? Like, at least have your boys have mm-hmm. a piece on them.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you like the Mayweather thing? Just have like four big ass dudes around you.
And I'm sure you know what he does. Like, and this other dude is another, he's like an ASAP mob guy too that he shot.
Oh wow.
Yeah, dude. It's one of his like best friends. They're like apparently high school best friends.
Okay, let me read into this a little bit more.
And so he shot at the guy, and then I think a piece of shrapnel mm-hmm. actually hit the guy.
So like, the associate's name is Tyrell Efron. If I'm pronouncing his name right, Ephron.
But he has like an ASAP.
Yeah, he's a one-time associate of Myers known as ASAP. Really?
Yeah,
really? Really. Identified as himself as the victim and sued Myers last week.
Yeah, so he's also suing him too mm-hmm. on top of the other charges. He's,
yeah, formerly a part of the ASAP hip-hop mob collective formed in 2006 in Harlem, New York City.
It's just like, bro, come on.
Yeah. We'll it sounds like he pulled out first.
Really?
From what you like, well, yeah, what you really said is like, he shot at him, I guess.
No, ASAP Rocky shot at
him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He pulled out first.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, there was no return fire. Yeah. They like got an altercation and mm-hmm. he shot at him.
Yeah, he drew. Yeah, it just says he drew. Yeah. Your boy ASAP drew up on him. It was what seems like, was he getting his ass kicked?
Probably, or he was about to. Mm-hmm. He saw it coming.
It was like two parties though, so you know it had to be more than one person.
And then you run off. Like you're 33 years old and you're sprinting.
Yeah,
he
fired twice off and ran off. Yeah.
It's just, come on, bro. So yeah, he's Bunga of the Week. And it's a shame because like, I mean, you just have it all and just to throw it all the way. Leave the streets behind.
Right.
Do the opposite of Tupac. Tupac wasn't even from the streets.
He was arrested as soon as he arrived, stepping away off a private jet in Los Angeles International Airport on his way back from Barbados.
Yeah, that was like in April.
Yeah.
And so he gets arraigned on Wednesday, which will be yesterday once this is posted. Mm-hmm. And we will kind of see how this goes. I mean, he'll probably, you know, make bail. And
yeah, he did. He already did. It was $550,000.
Jesus Christ. He's going to spend so much on lawyers. And that guy's going to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's set.
I hate to predict something, but yeah, it doesn't sound like he's going to win this.
No. But I don't know. Hopefully it's like limited jail time, but also like broke.
ASAP is claiming it was self-defense, though.
Yeah, you might have an argument.
But the judge is determining that the incident was noteworthy of prison time, though.
It's not worthy?
It's not worthy of prison time. That's what the judge is saying. The incident was not... A judge determined that the incident was not worthy of prison time.
Ooh.
That's according to the LA Times.
Okay, though. Maybe he'll get off then.
Yeah, who knows?
Self-defense. Yeah, he was
convicted after a trial in which judge heard evidence about a street brawl in Stockholm. So
that was in Stockholm. So basically,
stomping a man after he was thrown... him to the ground.
Yeah. It was like this white dude bothering them. He was like following them around.
I think I saw it on Reddit or...
Yeah, it was on something. Yeah. Or Shade Room, one of the most toxic places on the internet. Speaking of toxic people, there's this article out by Psychology Today, which is barely a reputable resource or reputable.
Yeah, it's cool.
Magazine or whatever, rag, and it's called The Rise of Lonely Men, and it's basically talks about how 60% of men, or 62% of men, you corrected me earlier, on dating apps. So it's just more difficult. I don't know if Grindr's involved in that.
Yeah, I don't know either. They didn't really give what apps were.
I know involved. Hinge was one of them. Hinge was a big one. And it just talks about how men are lonelier than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it tries to deduce that it's because women have higher standards.
Mm-hmm.
and that there are less women searching for men on dating apps. So these guys are basically like competing over like barely, you know.
And they have options essentially.
The women have options.
Yeah.
But here's, so I didn't tell you why I really wanted to talk about this article. Almost every crusty, dusty girl that I follow on Instagram reposted this article.
That's crazy because, man, we follow such different girls because I haven't seen them. When you showed me this, I
follow
like,
some crusty, dusty women.
I guess so.
And here's my thing.
I guess you all have a couple unfollowed crusty, dusty
women. These crusty, dusty, busted women reposted this like, oh, yeah, that's why I'm alone. Because of that. Because of this article, mm-hmm. The Rise of Loneliness. Mm-hmm. No, that is not why you're alone.
Let's go, Dr. Phil. I'm glad that
makes you feel better with your crusty, dusty, busted ass. But that is not why you're alone. Look at yourself in the mirror and figure it out. It has nothing to do with this. The men are lonely, I think, because of the internet, gaming. Look at these mass shooters. Like, there's a lot of problems with men in America right now. Don't get me wrong. But there's also a lot of good men.
This is true.
You know? And you're going to try to tell me that it's your standards. That's why you're alone, is because your standards. I don't believe that for a second. All right? Now, look yourself in the mirror and say, maybe it's their standards. Maybe you're not good enough for some of these guys either. All right? So don't be flexing this Psychology Today thing like, this is the reason why you're alone. It's not. Yeah. It's you. You're the reason you're alone. All right? And when you realize that, then you can start loving yourself. And when you start loving yourself, then beautiful things are going to happen. All right? So that's why I brought up this article, because I don't believe it for a second. I think the reason why men are alone have nothing to do with women's standards. Uh-huh. It's because the internet is toxic and preying on these men, honestly.
Well,
porn is amazing, you know?
This is coming from, the guy that's right, it's coming from a guy who wrote the article, so I feel like it's less biased coming from it. You know, it'd be different if it was written from like a female perspective.
Is he a gay man? I don't know who this guy is.
That's a confounding variable that I guess that's left to
Or maybe he's sus. And he's like, no, what did they call that? He's being a beta. You know, maybe he's just like, he's trying to get pussy off this article. He's pandering.
There could be some confounding variables there.
The article's only 200 words. I bet these women didn't even read the article. They just read the goddamn headline and were like, my standards are too high.
Oh my God.
I knew it all along. No, girl. Dusty, crusty, busted ass. And nothing to do with your standards.
Oh my God. So did you unfollow these crusty, busty ass girls?
Of course not.
Why not?
I love watching a good train wreck.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm here for. That's how I get material.
Okay.
You know?
Hey.
I don't get material just looking at pretty people.
It's true. I mean,
Psychology Today is not even like a real thing. You didn't tell me this article, he used like two references and it's a 200 word article. Get the fuck out. All right. That's all I wanted to say on that.
All right,
crusty,
get it out.
Dusty.
Get it out.
Sad motherfuckers. I had to get it off my chest.
No, you did, though.
I had to get it off my chest. Anyway, moving on to Wretched. Speaking of crusty, dusty, busted asses. This is a horror movie on Netflix, yes?
Yeah, it is. It's hard to come back to this, talked about this when you just went in on that.
Oh, did you want to? Do you have anything?
I think you might need to go to something else that you were in. So I'll try to digest like how you just went in. Actually. I didn't see that coming, but
I know. I kind of set you up.
Oh, shit.
The pre-production, like we were actually having like
it
a
was,
real
yeah,
discussion.
It was completely opposite of what we were talking about, but hey, that was good, you know. This threw me for a good one there, you know. So shit was it was good, you know.
I just like, don't be using a meme or a picture of an article
right
to feel good about yourself. That speaks volumes for you. It's like, oof, girl, shawty,
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah. I feel like that was like your Charlamagne the God Donkey of the Day moment.
Pretty much. Any girl that reposted that article,
They get in the bunga. Ooh, that's high.
I'm gonna start reposting weird articles. That's the other thing, though.
That's a good. Yeah, maybe you should repost it. That's
women.
Good.
A lot of times, though, they're very emotional.
Yeah,
you can always tell where they're at by like the memes they post. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are girls who are like, you know, ironic and tongue in cheek, but for the most part, I feel like women. You're like, she's single,
right?
You know, she's down bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you just know. It's like. Today, like, look in the mirror and love yourself and smell a flower. It's like, she got broken up with. She, you know, you can always tell where they're at by the memes they post. You know, men are just like fucking LeBron James throwing down like a 360 or like a dunk that's identical to Kobe from like 98. And it's just sick.
Yeah, right. Know? Yeah. Right. You can see that. You can see that, you know.
Anyway.
Oh, gosh. That was
sorry. And hey, I love women. Don't get me wrong. I love y'all. Mm-hmm. Keep doing y'all thing. Keep emotional posting. Keep emoting on the gram. You know, do whatever you want to do. But you could get it, though. Like, you're going to get the smoke.
So you're going to get this smoke. You're going to learn today. You don't got the answer, Sway.
Yeah, you ain't got the answers.
You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers.
If you got a problem,
he is pull up on him. You know where he be outside, too. So y'all know he was outside last night. Catch him outside.
I was where is it?
The local. Yeah, he was out.
Just in my body.
Hey. Yo, some of my favorite tracks back in 2000 were the DJ. Skate. fucking what? When Dave Chappelle ran
Little
the
John?
Little John skits on Dave Chappelle.
What?
He said when she was doing that interview, he's like asking him questions.
Oh, yeah.
What? And then he goes back to us. But what? Some of the best hype tracks back then were Little John's, though, in the club tracks. Where I'm just sitting in the club with my arms crossed. You just play the tracks and they're just all like real hard body. Like
that was like a weird thing that was happening back then, where it was like bragging about how you don't dance.
You don't dance. Yeah, you're just literally chilling.
Remember and do the rock away, lean back. Which is a dance. Back. I mean, that is a dance, Fat Joe.
You can lean with it, rock with
there
it, lean with it, rock with it. Now lean back. You're right. So like
the craziest guy though was what was his name? Lil something.
Lil Jot?
Was it it was like Lil Rusty.
Catch me at the mom.
But he was one of the East Side Boys.
Scrappy. Scrappy.
Scrappy was on some other shit.
I love the Franchise Boys. Then they was hit. They hit.
Damn Franchise. Yeah. I like D4L. Mm-hmm. That was my guys.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Shawty Lowe.
Oh yeah.
Sure okay, up. Now can we get into the wretched?
Yeah, man, it's just I had to. Okay, the wretched. Let's get into it. Yeah, the wretched. It's on Netflix. It has ratings from Rotten Tomato. Which one do you want first? Rotten Tomato, or do you want your favorite? IMDb. Which one do you want?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, let's go Rotten Tomato.
It's going to be higher on there, maybe.
They're actually almost equivalent. They're almost the same. So this is a story. It's horror. Mystery thriller came out in 2019. Writer,
what?
Yeah, writer. We talked about this on the last pod because we both were like intrigued by like
the thumbnail, and I watched like the clip.
And it's definitely, it's weird because it's like a psycho thriller. It definitely is a stop and watch. It's not a next. You gotta stop and watch this one. It's a must. It's an hour and 35 minutes. It's not like that's you're short. Gonna waste all, and I'm trying to tell you, it gets everything, and within that hour and 35 minutes, it's like this teen goes to visit his dad, which they're like divorced from his mom and dad, and it's got this weird creepy looking witch. I almost agree this should have been in movie theaters. Like, it's weird how everything that's coming out within like 2020 19 is just like up. It's been like quality wise it's just hitting, because like I didn't see this come out, so like for me I'm like, where did this come
from? I thought it was brand new,
right? So it's almost like it's weird how they Rotten Tomato categorize this, because it's underneath of it, it says it's a PG-13, but it still has like parts where it's rated R. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, it's that good where it could be like, if it was rated R, it might have been higher, but it's in between. Like I said, it's like a mature, but it has parts of it where it's like the writing was very intricate. It pulls you in. And at the very end of the movie, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like a.
I didn't see that coming.
You ever like seen the Babadook?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, that's a good one. It's similar sounding.
It definitely just is. And it leaves you with another clip. It leaves you with a cliffhanger, of course, at the end. Like a, almost like, oh my gosh, it's. You thought you know, whatever. It's a cliffhanger.
Right.
I'll give you that. But it's worth. And it's, Rotten gives it 5 out of 10. So, okay. Which is actually not bad. It's in the middle. That's a Rotten type of score. The tomato meter is 75%, which that's is kind of high. The audience is 46%. I just don't think it's out. It's like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like one of those things where you saw it on your Netflix browser and you're probably like, ooh, that cover looks weird and looks like it could be kind of cool, but let me scroll past something else and check something else.
The cover looks,
but let me tell enticing. You now, stop and watch it. You will not be disappointed. I'm going to give it.
What you got?
I'm going to give it 3 swipes.
What?
I am.
That's high.
That's high. Because it gave me everything.
The story.
The story was it didn't give you, like, you weren't like, I need to know more about the divorce family. It just gave you, like, that was that.
Yeah.
Now let's get to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, and some of it was kind of foreshadowing, but it made up for parts later in the movie. You were kind of like, okay, that made up for that.
Yeah.
Okay. That like completely turned my whole view of the movie around.
Yeah. Well, story is to me, the creme de la creme. It makes the difference.
And I tell you, it made me jump. I had one part where I jumped. Yeah. So like for me, for a PG-13 to make me jump and I watched it during like a dark setting, of course, you know, nighttime. Yeah. So it was like perfect. And the witch, oh my gosh, looks insanely creepy.
I like that.
Like it has the one thing that I love that's scary, that has the bone.
Oh yeah.
It contortion. Has all, oh my gosh. It's
shout out the Grudge.
Three swipes.
Or the ring or Grudge.
Both I think have it.
So 3 swipes.
Yeah, 3 swipes. IMDb gives it 5.8 out of 10, which is actually pretty good.
You're over them.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's pretty good. I think people should stop and watch it. It's not a next. It's a stop.
All right. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Moving on to something we both watch, Day Shift, starring Jamie Foxx and our guy Dave Franco. We love Dave Franco.
We do love Dave Franco.
He's just that guy.
He is,
and he's
funny.
He stayed in the pocket.
He did.
And he just kind of like, you know, he's outlived his brother. He stayed out of trouble, mm-hmm. and he just gets roles and he delivers.
He delivers. I agree with all that assessment.
First off, I want to talk about the director. His name's J.J. Perry.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting what seems to be happening now. We talked about Bullet Train last week. What's his name? Like Leachman or something like that. He was the stunt double for Brad Pitt
mm-hmm.
in Fight Club, and then he goes on to direct Bullet Train. Well, J.J. Perry was also a stuntman,
mm-hmm.
and he was the stuntman for Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I see that he has worked with John Wick.
Yeah.
On his resume.
He also, like, towards the end was doing John Wick and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And it seems that these studios are starting to realize, like, yo, just get these fucking stunt guys. Like, because the fucking fight scenes in this movie are badass.
Yeah, they are.
So I just wanted to bring that up mm-hmm. first off. But I will say that is one of its strong points by doing that, but when you bring on a stunt guy as a director, you also miss certain things. Same as Bullet Train, you know? So what did you think?
2 swipes.
That's exactly what I was going to give it.
Should have been a movie release. Should have been out in movies. Quality was movie quality release.
Looked great.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Foxx looks incredible.
Yeah.
His hairline is...
It's not going anywhere.
What the fuck is that? Like, how, bro?
I don't know. He looked the same. Like, he was in Spider-Man, the last one. Looked good and, like, you know...
Kind of got the Boosie fade going mm-hmm. a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawaiian shirts were on
point. I loved it. I know. That was sweet.
I love the look of, like, most of it. Mm-hmm. Something about California.
I love
just,
it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to, you know, don't get me started.
All right,
don't get me. Don't get me. Just yeah.
And we're gonna try to be spoiler free. The it was interesting. The ideas were very John Wick, I think, where mm-hmm. it's like the union, you know?
Yeah, that was cool.
And like the rules of the union and mm-hmm. stuff. Like I feel like they had a lot going for it with the lore and all that. But I think they didn't go into it enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with John Wick, it's like very much a part of the whole thing. You know, like when John Wick's like running out of time and he needs to like get to the place and touch the stair, like
before,
it's just like all these rules they make up. And you're just watching it, and you're like, well, you got it. He needs to follow the rules.
Yeah, that's true. You know? I wish they did. You're right. I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
They could have explained that a little bit more.
You know, there's like five types of vampires, but that was like barely even a thing.
Like, they didn't tell us about all the types. So he was trying to trade in stuff. You're like, well, how would you know? Like, what classifies this? Is that?
Right.
You know, like,
and bringing in the teeth for money was a cool concept, too. And then Dave Franco was fucking, I thought he was.
They established their relationship very quick and really well. Like, usually it takes a long time to be, you know, to establish a one-on-one relationship. It's a 1 hour and 53 minute movie. Usually a movie will take almost damn near 45 to an hour to establish the partnership between two people in a movie so long.
Yeah.
But that was, they literally got together, and you can tell, like, as soon as they were like with each other, it was like
on point,
the match. Like, I can see this happening. Funny.
And I was laughing. Like,
yes.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Like, there was some lines in there that were fucking hilarious. It, like, Jamie Foxx at one point gets like thrown up the stairs.
He said this point. That was as real as like, funny as
that line of the movie.
This moment just threw me upstairs.
Yeah. Shit was awesome. And that fight scene was to me the best.
Yeah.
The brothers were fucking cool. You know,
I the truck scene. He's like, why did you just name? And that one was whole part. I thought that was great. Cause you know, Dave Franco in that age was that time bracket of when that was happening. That's his time bracket of, you know, those movies were popping. So for him to be like, why do you hate that? That was one of the best ones that he gave you. You have his, and it's like that little, he's like, no, I had it. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I laughed on that part because it was just that
their scene. Their camaraderie was perfect.
Yeah, it was.
That's the thing though. Like, I love the lore of it. But then at a certain point, I didn't really like the bad guy, the girl.
Nah, I could have dealt without her.
And then the set piece at the end where it was kind of like From Dusk Till Dawn, it was like ancient looking, just looked cheap. You know, like,
well, it had $100 million budget, and they actually, I think they did pretty well with $100 million.
I think it looked great for $100 million, but that last set piece, I wasn't feeling. I also like the Snoop Dogg character. I kind of could have done without.
I think it wasn't. You could have lived without it, but you couldn't. It wasn't bad, or you know what I mean. It wasn't. It didn't affect me. It wasn't like a factor that deterred me from it. Yeah. If you took it out, I would have been like, nah, it's still good.
Yeah.
If you left it in there, nah, it's still the same. I would have been the same with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's Uncle Snoop, you know, gotta love him, but it was just a little goofy.
Yeah.
You know, a little too goofy for me, but it
was... They gave you the Lost Boys reference at the end.
Yeah.
If anybody that sees it, any real true movie heads out there that are podcast listeners of us know what, you know, certain lines are from. You know, Lost Boys is one of those top cult classics.
I think it turned, I want to say it turned like 40.
Maybe. Yeah, you're probably right. Because it definitely maybe 1980s.
Like this year.
Sure. Yeah.
Lost Boys, though, is like one of the best movies ever made. I don't care what anybody says.
No, I'm riding on that horse.
It's in the top 50 greatest American movies.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just the vibe. You know, it's funny. I was at, where was I at? There was like a Youngblood. I was at Pond City Market bopping around. And this kid... Like a young 14-year-old, I'm pretty sure he wasn't gay. You know, he was like a little jock kind of guy. Had the dangly earring.
Oh,
like
jock,
a little
Peterson
white boy.
Shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With like the cross. And I was like, that's so fire. Like, that's,
yeah.
Why couldn't we fucking have styles like that in high school?
Mm-hmm.
I would have been eviscerated if I would have wore that. You know, like these kids are living their best lives. Like, it's insane. But yeah, I saw this dude and I was like, damn, that's fucking sick. Like,
but he definitely, they had lines from there. That's when that day shift paid homage to a lot of things, you know? Well, I like movies that do that.
Oh, 100%. You have to. They paid homage to Twilight as well.
Yep. They did a lot of homage paying too, but it was cool because you know, you got to mix stuff in like that. Jamie Foxx is not of the era of what they were referencing.
Right.
You know, so it was like kind of cool to play that shit in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I doubt that he's probably watched any of those in real life. What do you
think? Oh, yeah, no, but like we know, like Team David, Team
Edward.
I've seen the first one.
Yeah, so have I. I've watched all of them.
The baseball scene is ridiculous.
I watched all of them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I ain't gonna cap.
I ain't gonna cap. I gotta, you know, we gotta watch these to judge him.
Another honorable mention. Honorable mention. Megan Good. Still looking really good.
I ain't even gonna comment.
Yeah,
I'll get in trouble.
Yeah, Megan Good, looking good. Mm-hmm. I did like that. It was kind of weird. She was kind of shoehorned in there.
But give her props. Can we get the claps for her? Because she done Eric. You've Got Served. She's always been a B girl. Was she in every
drumline?
Bro, I just. She's coming up now. Let's go. Like,
what has she been in? I haven't seen her.
That's what I'm saying. She needs to come up.
Yeah, where has she been?
I don't know. So fine. But she's a good actress too, though. Like, what's up?
Yeah. Damn. But she looks great.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little thicker now. I like that.
She was in the Lake Terrace one where home dude was married to the white. No. That wasn't her in that. She wasn't in that. I don't know. I got to look her up, but we'll find out what she's been in. But yeah, it was good. It was good, though.
Yeah. So we're going, I think, two.
Two. I went two. Yeah.
I just think that they needed, especially if it was going to be in the movies, like, just, they rush everything. Like, just chill it out.
Megan Good's 41.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah. Talk about not aging.
Like fine wine.
Yeah.
But smoking on good.
Stomp the Yard, The Intruder.
Stomp the Yard.
The Anchorman, too. She was in that. I didn't watch. Kind of horrible. Shazam. I didn't even bother watching that shit.
Shazam? She was in that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Shazam was pretty good. I don't care. I'll give that one a power, too.
Oh, you did? You watched that? Oh, wow. Power 2.
Shazam. Jeez. The first Shazam. I thought it was a sleeper.
She was in Minority Report. I forgot about that.
Yeah, movie's fucking
that
awesome.
That was kind of fire. I love that movie. That was kind of lit. She was in both Anchorman's 1 and 2. I don't remember her in those, but okay.
Me neither.
She was in Saw 5. I think I remember her in that.
Oh, that's not. Come on, girl. Come on, girl. You can do better than that.
Damn, why you gotta be like that, bro? He said, come on, girl.
Come on now.
Come on now.
All right, let's move on to the next thing. So I finished The Sandman, which is another Eisner-winning comic book that is turned into a series. Neil Gaiman, he also wrote American Gods, which is another series.
Yeah, and my wife watches that. She loves. Well, I watched the first season.
I read the book. I would like to watch the first season, but it was on like Stars, and I'm just like, nah. He also did Bad Omens, which is another book that was turned into a series on Amazon Prime. I think that one was a.
I'm gonna have to say next.
that was Bad Omens. Now the Sandman thing, I've been trying to read this comic book, but it's like you have to buy like the book version, and they're like $40 a pop, something like that, maybe like 35. And I just never do it,
right?
You know, and there's like 5 volumes or something like that. So if you want to read the whole thing, you know, you're gonna spend like over $100 or more, and probably like $200. So it's just always like intimidating.
Sounds like The Hobbit and all that type of books.
I mean, he's a prolific writer, but it is known, especially in like the early 2000s, with the Hot Topic days, you know, kind of the gothy stuff. He was like that. Comic kind of was the shit. It was, you know, alternative, you know, I think it is DC, but just like really weird, and people loved it, and it's real emo. So if you're into that kind of stuff, you'll probably like Sandman. The guy who plays him, his name is Tom Sturridge. He gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't know what it is about him, but he plays like almost like a Tim Burton type character. He's the hero Sandman. British. It shows super British. If you're into British shit, this is for you. It's just weird. One thing I do like about it, and then they kind of fuck it up at the end, is like it's 10 episodes, but the first 3 episodes are kind of their own thing. The middle 3 episodes are kind of their own story, and then the final episodes are their own story. And they're all pretty good except for the last ones. And it has a guy from Narcos, the white guy.
Boyd Holbrook.
I believe he plays a Corinthian. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He's awesome.
I've seen him in plenty of things. He's good.
But there's like a young woman, a young girl mm-hmm. who's her first time ever acting. And I think most people in this show are actually really good actors. Mm-hmm. And she sucks. And she's in the last like three episodes. And she's like a fundamental part of the episodes. She's like this kind of person who's born with almost like certain, like the Sandman's powers. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking up his shit. And it's like a huge role in... She just sucks, and it just it's hard to watch her and her brother like play their roles. But other than that, I still think it's worth a watch. I'm gonna give it a power one.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a really weird show.
Not good, not bad.
Yeah, but like it looks great, mm-hmm. you know, for the most part. It's really out there and weird, which I'm here for. You know, like at one point he has like a battle with Satan, mm-hmm. you know, and he had,
which is Brianna Taff.
Yes, Brianna Toth.
Toth, yeah. From
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
And I think she does a great job, and that episode's really cool.
She's a fucking banging-ass actress, yeah. too.
And then there's, like, I think it's episode 4 or 5, there's, mm-hmm. like, this diner episode, which Sandman is, like, not in. Maybe at the very end he's in it. But it's just, like, this guy has, like, a certain ability that he kind of mm-hmm. can make people only tell the truth. And you just see like the descent of humanity in this diner with like these six characters. Really cool episode.
Mm-hmm.
You see Sandman one episode, like just hang out with Death. And you just see like he goes around with Death and Death, like, you know, does what Death does.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another episode where he makes a friendship with a guy and he meets that guy every 100 years at mm-hmm. a tavern. And it's fucking cool. Like those concepts are cool, but overall, they kind of, you know, fumbled the bag, and it could have been really good, I think, had they cast better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe even older, you know?
Gotcha.
Like, sometimes you just got to be like, you know what? Maybe a 13-year-old, 14-year-old might not be it. Maybe we should just pump it up to an 18-year-old who's got the chops.
Right, you know? Right.
So, I give power one.
Check it out. According to Twin Infinite... .net, the Sandman is indeed a DC property. However, many fans view it as an entirely separate entity. This is because the Sandman is part of DC's Vertigo imprint.
Yeah.
Vertigo imprint was introduced in 1993 by Karen Berger, who was at the time an editor for DC. So,
yeah, it's just, or like, so in like one part of it, like I said, there's like different arcs. There's like Joanna Constantine,
mm-hmm.
and like y'all know Constantine, Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a DC character. Yeah. So you have like another iteration of Constantine, but she's female, mm-hmm. you know. And honestly, I don't even know why she was in the show. Like mm-hmm. you kind of could have done without her.
Mm-hmm.
But like you do have some of those DC things in there, but it's kind of in its own world.
That's why I guess people separate it from you.
Well, like, it's kind of also like Watchmen. Like, mm-hmm. Watchmen's DC, mm-hmm. but it's kind of in a world without Batman. You know?
Right.
It's just
right.
different. Same as this. It's cool, especially if you're a comic book nerd. Check this shit out. Especially, like, British people talking slowly and looking sad and pale. Might be for you. Check it out. Power One Swipe. I just killed my dad?
Yeah. Another Netflix documentary.
They got a million of them.
They do. I don't even know why I even started watching this.
Yeah.
It just was something to watch while I do something on computer work. But it was just interesting because the dude's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and his lawyer.
Yo, shout out Baton Rouge.
His lawyer also is from Louisiana, and he has this saying that Louisianans are survivors. Like, they go through the most craziest stuff in their life. He's like, if you talk to any Louisianan, they've always been through something like super crazy or, you know, and come back from some type of adversity or something.
Yeah.
That, he gave me a crazy statistics about like the mental health problem in Louisiana,
oh,
where
God.
It's just saying how crazy it is. Like, so, this kid, essentially, I don't want to like give it away too much, but it has a 95% on Google. It's 6 out of 9 at IMDb, and it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Get that out of the way first. It's about this kid.
That's solid.
Yeah, it's only like 3 episodes, 4 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. he gets, long story short, his dad takes him away from his wife in Texas, takes him to New Orleans, because that's like where he's from. He's like this guy who's narcissistic, real controlling, and like steals his son essentially. And so he's like missing. He doesn't enroll him in school. He's homeschool him. He's like keeps him inside the house the whole time. And by this title, I Just Killed My Dad, you already know that he kills his dad. So this guy who is his lawyer is going to defend him pro bono and everything because he feels that bad for him, his whole story.
Yeah.
You know, he's never met his real mom. He was abused. It was just crazy how someone can go missing and not be reported because his mom, his original mom, put out missing papers. But when his dad moved away, he didn't enroll him in anything. So there's no papers. There was like nothing on him. Yeah. Like completely. I have never seen this before where a kid is literally, he's like 17.
So he didn't go to school or anything?
No, they didn't even enroll him in school because the fact that he would be in school, his level would be at a third grade level at the age of 17 or 18. I don't want to give too much about the story and in the court case and stuff like that, but it's a very creepy story. And the kid's name is Anthony Templet. Like, and he was arrested. It happened in like June 2019. He like called his, even called, he's like, the call is even crazy, you know, because it sounds like he didn't even do anything wrong. So when you're watching it, it's kind of like, yo, this dude's going to jail forever. He just killed his dad. He tells him, the cops, everything, how it happened. You're just kind of like, this is crazy. So you kind of don't know what, there's more into it. So you find out that it's just like,
well, he's like pretty much kidnapped.
Essentially. Yeah. And so his dad kills
him at what age?
17.
Yeah. So he's not an adult yet.
Well, they tried him as an adult in Louisiana because of So it's wild, man. I mean, it goes from like sexually abused, like physical abuse.
I have trouble watching shows like this because it's just so pitiful.
Yeah. And the sad part is just the dude, you know, the kid, Anthony Templin, is just, he's caught in the middle of this, know what I mean?
But like, does he get any compensation for this? You know what I'm saying?
He's on probation. Like he's still, what do you mean?
Make like a documentary about me and my,
I don't know.
It feels a little exploitative.
Like there was even a missing papers in like Texas, like, yo, where's my son? She even had like, this is a picture of him and everything, but
that's fucked.
Yeah.
And then you're only one state away.
Yeah.
Like you're not, he moved that to far.
Yeah, he moved out to New Orleans and she's in Texas. Yeah.
So what would you rate this guy?
The documentary is definitely, it's a three swiper.
Three? Because you're handing out threes today.
Yo, it caught me off guard. You know what I mean? I love First 48. You know me, I'm all in like crime victim and shit like that. So,
yeah,
and I'm crime SVU, docs. I love all that stuff. So for me to see that I Just Killed My Dad on Netflix, I was kind of like, oh, let me watch this, you know, whatever.
It's like top,
you know,
five
so
right
then
now.
It gives you like an insight about Louisiana. The guy for, like I said, the lawyer, he's a Louisiana lawyer, homebred, you know, and he's like, you know, he's just saying how Louisiana is just a bunch of, you know, people are survivors out there. Adversity is part of being a Louisianan, essentially. You know?
Basically, if you can survive, five summers in Louisiana.
Yes, what he's like.
Then you're fucking, you'll know what he's talking about.
He's like, look at the murder rate in overall capital of Louisiana. He's just breaking down things like.
Well, New Orleans. Horrible. Baton Rouge, too.
Baton Rouge, where he was at. Yeah, it's just like, bro, it's just like, you know. It was just crazy, you know, because you have the high parts of Louisiana. I was watching Street Fruits where they're talking about, you know, Second Street and all those high things about Second New Orleans line. Or Second Line, you know, and I've never been to the state of Louisiana, but it seems to me it has so many parts of it where it's like good, bad, underdeveloped. It's like, it's just like, you know, like people from here, you know, adversity, like, you know, it's, we love it. I wouldn't change anything about it. You know, there's people in Louisiana that would never leave. You know, like I've seen, he's like, I'll never leave this place. I love it. You know, New Orleans, you know, like, so it's just crazy from the drastic parts that I've seen just from watching different documentaries and movies about, I mean, the Ninth Ward, you know what I mean? Like I've learned so much just about movies from Louisiana. I've never even been, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. So, now there's this, I can't watch it, but it's just, like 3 days at Memorial. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it. Mm-mm.
But it's like about post Katrina, mm-hmm. like, or like right as Katrina hit, like nurses that are like at Memorial Hospital trying to like keep people alive.
I did a report in public health about that, so I know about it just from like doing reports. Like, yeah,
I don't want to. It's just sad. It's so fucking sad. Like,
it's crazy, man. Yeah. And it's just the dad Bert was a controlling freak. He had cameras all around the house. Yeah. The kid never left the room. His room never left. Just imagine being raised from you're a kid, just never, ever leaving your room because your dad was a control freak. You never went to school. You never socialized with anybody.
There's some of that in The Sandman, actually, towards the end. There's that happens to a character.
Yeah, so it's very introspective. Definitely worth the watch, for sure.
I'll check out Seth Will Watch What Dana Watches. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's quick. It's not, like I said, 3 episodes. You get through it in like a day.
Yeah. All right, well, I got something for you.
Let go.
I think this guy is one of the funniest guys out right now. His name is Tim Dillon. He just released his stand-up special. I think it's fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. But if you actually just listen to his podcast, it's almost like every episode. He does most of his podcast alone, mm-hmm. and he just is like ranting. But he's fucking hilarious. This guy is a gay man. You would never know it. He seems almost like a Trump supporter. He's like a walking contradiction. He is the dirtiest, lowest. He will say whatever. And I think he's really intelligent. And I just get it. I get his humor.
Is it the Tim Dillon, A Real Hero? Special? Okay, I just want to make sure it's the one.
A real hero. The whole thing is like ironic.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about COVID and all that, but mm-hmm. it feels fresh, you know, because he does it actually in Denver, mm-hmm. which is where Bill Burr did his.
Ironically enough.
Yeah. And Bill Burr, I felt like his COVID stuff was kind of more tired.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is fucking, I don't know, man, his takes on things. I think he's like a modern Stephen Colbert. Remember how Stephen Colbert like played a Republican, mm-hmm. but it was like tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Like he really wasn't.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea of the Republican has changed so much since fucking 2009 that you now have this new, like, crazy, like, anti-vax type, you know, whatever. And he gets vaccinated.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah. But then he makes fun of it and, you know, all this kind of, like, nothing is, like, sacred to him.
That's crazy. That dude, I mean, I'm looking at pictures of him. He just looks like, you know, like.
And he kind of sounds like Trump a little bit with how he talks, but he's a gay man. Like, you would never know it. And I just think that he's just, you know, politically incorrect as fuck. And this is what we need.
Okay.
You know, we just need people who are fearless,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the thing is, I was looking, I think he has 200,000 subscribers on his podcast. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. You can't fucking get rid of him because
mm-hmm.
his followers are going to support him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he doesn't have to worry. He's not trying to get a TV show.
Right. Doesn't care.
Or work with Hollywood.
Right.
You know?
It's like Joe Rogan at this point. He can do nothing to stop him.
He's been on Joe Rogan a bunch and he makes fun of Joe Rogan mm-hmm. all the time.
But the same thing, you can't stop him.
Exactly.
He's like, it's like the more you try to crack on Joe Rogan or say whatever he is, he grows.
Yeah, we thought he got 100 mil. It was 200.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He grows. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, whatever you say, this dude just grows.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it's a good thing.
I don't know if it is either.
The reason I like Tim Dillon, though, is like, you will learn some stuff. Or like, he'll give you like
a different perspective.
Yeah. Like, he's going to go into the head of a fucking crazy Republican and then he always turns it, you know, to where it's like shows how fucking dumb they are.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not scared to like go into the mind of how they think.
Right.
Like, and it's awesome. And check it out. Yeah, I give it 3 swipes.
Because it's true. Because Republicans are like right now fighting against each other. They're like, there are 2 sets of Republicans. So it's a Trump. Well,
the Trump thing is, you know, the FBI stuff. Just, that might get old Teflon Don. Might get him stuck.
Not that we're a political show, but Liz Cheney is literally going to get booted from Republican Party because she's on the committee to the whole January 6th committee. She's a Republican in Wyoming, which Trump won by like 40%.
Yeah.
She's about to get booted. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Republicans are like, they're separated at this point. So it's kind of hilarious that if he's like giving stuff about that, because it's true, they're divided.
I mean, he just, I don't know. You just check it out. And he also makes fun of Denver because I just think Denver it can be a little goofy at times, and he just fucking gets it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just a lot of white people. Mm-hmm. White people Wakanda. That's what they call it.
I've never heard that one. That's new. Wow. I've not ever heard that.
I got that from
Okay.
I got that from Psychology Today. But yeah, check it out. I fucking think more people need to check him out. My brother put me on to him a while back.
Shout out Cy.
Shout out Cy. And I do listen to his podcast. I do think his podcast is kind of better than his stand up, but this will give you a taste of it. You know, and it's only 45 minutes. It's a short set. So I give it, yeah, 3 swipes.
It's pretty good. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah.
It's only 48 minutes.
That's right. And we got one more thing. Human resources.
So I finished that last night. I'm going to go ahead and give it 2 swipes. You know when you're super hilarious and you don't really do any... The show gives you nothing but hilarious skits, borderline. You know Nick Kroll. If you know Nick Kroll and you watch Big Mouth, we've already talked about human resources. It's kind of like... You know, it's definitely rated R, gory, over the line, funny, mature, not built for kids. But then they hit me with the second to last episode with a, like, sad episode, which kind of threw me off, which is got it why I gave it a 2. Because, like, I'm like, why did you switch the vibe up on second to last episode?
Really? There's a sad
episode? Yeah, there's, like, a sad episode.
Okay, that's weird.
Where, like, yeah, like, where something... Someone passes away, you're just like not expecting that from human resources because everything they have to be done has been like
goofy as fuck.
Yeah. So I was just kind of like thrown off by that. But, you know, the overall, like I said, if you're looking for something quick that's gross that talks about balls and penises and
that's
you
my
know,
thing.
Like,
I can't. I couldn't even finish it.
That's why I give it a 2 because it's like it really takes a special type of person to like.
For me, it's a.
I'm gonna have to say next.
Yeah, I can see why you could say that too. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things that I'm a fan of Nick Kroll because I'm a fan of The League, and The League to me was like one of the top, my top 5 series ever. Yeah. You know, and Nick Kroll's hilarious to me. You know, so when I wasn't a fan of Big Mouth, I didn't really watch it. So when Human Resources came out, I just was like, let me try it. It might be different.
Yeah.
And it's a spinoff from Big Mouth because they're in there, Human Resources. But it's like, it's just too much.
I don't know. There's another show I tried to watch too. I watched like 3 episodes. It was like Xandar. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Whatever. Yeah.
I always have to just be like sexual humor.
Yeah,
like,
it is, yeah.
I just, you know, like watch Futurama, you know, like, yeah, there is the snoo-snoo episode, which is one of the funniest episodes there is. The flesh is weak, but the mind is, I can't remember the line, but I mean, you can have like sex jokes, but like, not everything has to just be horny.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just kind of weird watching cartoons talk about that. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sit well with me.
Right.
But, like, everything just leans into that right now, and it's like there's funnier. I mean, watch Super Jail, you know? Like, there's great animated shows that are funny or amazing, but they just don't have to be, like, this horned-up humor, you know?
I'm with you. So
I watched, like, 3 episodes of Human Resources, and then I was like, all right, I'm done with it, you know?
Yeah, I finished it, but yeah.
Also, just don't really like the animation style that much.
That much,
the
character,
I don't know. They look weird.
It's weird. No, it is.
I wanted to say one thing about Nick Kroll. I found this out the other day. His dad's name is Jules Kroll.
Mm-hmm.
He's an American businessman whose company, Kroll Inc., is credited with founding the modern corporate investigations energy, whatever that is. He's a billionaire. Kroll's dad is worth like $1 billion.
Damn.
Yeah, so Nick Kroll is like a super rich kid.
Well, he acts like that in The League. He plays a super rich kid that dates a hot...
Oh, really?
You never watched The League? Oh, my God.
I've seen episodes.
Yeah, his wife is hot. He's like a lawyer who makes a lot of money, and he's smarter than all of his friends, and that's the role he plays. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, his dad is a billionaire.
Well, can't be, you know... Hey, can't hate your dad, who your dad is.
Can't hate, unless you're kill your dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Anthony. Yeah, well. You got to watch it to find out why he did.
Shout out Anthony.
Right.
We're going to go out on a new track from Black Thought.
It's a good spot for hip hop right now. There's a lot of music coming out.
And Joey Badass. Joey.
We got Joey. We got Black Thought. We got
Game.
Lloyd Banks.
Megan Thee Stallion.
There's just so many hip hop records that have dropped here recently. It's just flooding. I love it.
But this track is called Aquamarine. It features one of my favorite folk guys right now. His name is Michael Kiwanuka. Check out his shit if you ever get a chance. Really soulful. He sounds like Otis Redding.
Ooh.
But it's Black Thought and Danger Mouse did a whole album. Yeah. Danger Mouse is a super producer, and check them out. All the beats are fire.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm not gonna lie, Quest Love has gotten so corny to me.
Quest Love? I feel like he's become commercialized.
Super.
I feel like don't get to take this word. I think white people are taking him and being like, let's use Quest Love as this integrative guide between black culture and the media. But I'm like, he's a fucking hip hop legend, drummer / music. And I know he's got all these talents. It's just like, I'm with you though. I don't know about. I don't know. Hit that sellout button, bro. Let people hear. You might even have to stop the track so people hear your thoughts. You might have to. That was a.
No, I turned it down.
Dude, that was good.
Boy.
Yep, you're right about him. Yeah, man. I don't know.
I just feel like Black Thought. I like him solo.
Yeah,
solo.
Yeah, I love Black Thought. I don't know what Quest is. He's working for CNN and he's on
New York Times.
Yeah.
But no, real talk though. If we got New York Times, they put us on New York Times. Fuck yeah. I can quit my job I hate? Yes. I'd be hitting the button on myself.
Yeah, Black Thought brought it on this record.
Yeah, sponsor it, y'all. We looking to sell out. Hulu.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking at you, Hulu.
Yeah, especially Hulu. Hulu, Netflix.
Especially NFL season's coming up. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on with it. NBA is about to come back. What the fuck is KD going
to
do?
Oh, gosh. Sports is about to be litty again. We got college about to start up. Atlanta gets lit for college football. We all know.
Braves have a big series this weekend with the Mets.
Yep. We just lost the one series up in New York with them, so.
Atlanta's kind of live with it with the Braves. It seems like the Braves are becoming a powerhouse.
I'm mad we lost Jock, though.
Yeah, but I think our GM knows what he's doing. He's bringing in young talent, keeping it fresh. You also got to pay these motherfuckers, you know? Jock Pearson wins you a title, and then he's a little older. It's maybe. Gamble on the
still got Swanson, Freed, and we got some guys out there.
This beat is dumb,
I love hearing people say the Biden inflation. Have you heard people saying that?
Biden inflation?
Yeah, I'm dealing with this Biden inflation. I don't even comment on it. I don't know.
Build back better. The economy?
Yeah.
Economy deal. Save the world or ecosystem.
Save the fucking podcast. How about that?
Yes. Sponsors Hulu.
Yeah.
All right. We out.